Well, we're glad you're here today. If you did not get our newsletter, it means that you just missed it, or you didn't take time to read it on Friday, or you're not signed up. So if you're not signed up for our newsletter, as Pastor Adam said, you could do that today. Just fill out a card, give us your name and email, and every Thursday at noon, you'll get our newsletter. So today is no other Sunday like this that I've ever done at Crosspoint. It's a one-off. And today I want to share with you the church's plan for transition from myself to somebody else as the senior pastor. Many years ago I came here. I was 25 years old. It's a long time ago. And I began teaching at Bangor Christian Schools. And the following year I became the athletic director. And the following year, at 27, I became the principal. And so I was very, very involved early on in the ministry across the parking lot, even though part of the school is in this building. But my primary job was Bangor Christian. In fact, a lot of my education is in education, not necessarily in theology. I have more education in education than I do theology. And so from that time at Bangor Christian, our ministry went through a difficult time. And I was asked in 1989 to leave the school and come over to the church and do what Pastor Adam is now doing for our church, and that's being an associate or executive pastor. And so I did that for 8 years. But when I first came over to the church, I worked with someone who had been a deacon in our church, who had gone off to Bible college, who had come back, and he had started a church in the county and was asked to come here and pastor. After the challenge that we had in our church, we called a 69-year-old pastor, Ken Chapman. And he had a ministry of helping churches that had been broken. Some churches are cracked. You know, some are broken. Ours was shattered, literally. We went from 600 people attending down to 69. You say, how do you know that, Jerry? I was here. That's how I know. Eyewitness. We had about $2.2 million of debt between all of our ministries, the church 1.6 alone. And Dr. Chapman came knowing all of that. He came for 2 years, and because of his age, he really wasn't a healthy 69 either. But when he came, he asked if I would be his assistant pastor. I was only 27 at the time, I think. And I said, sure, why not? And the reason why was, well, there were two reasons, but the main reason was he couldn't get in the baptistry because he was so old. And he needed somebody young that could go in and baptize people. And I said, sure, I'll be glad to do that. But every Thursday night, which was really good, is that him and I went on visitation together. So people that visit the church, we'd go, we'd talk to them about the Lord, talk to them about our church. And I'd hear all these stories, and he began to mentor me and really teach me about ministry. And then he became sick. We didn't know it at the time, but he had cancer, and then he passed away a few years later. So after his 2 years here, he moved on, and Richard Rockwell came, and that's the one that asked me to come across the parking lot to be the associate pastor. When Dr. Chapman got sick, he had asked me if I wanted to be a candidate to be the pastor of Bangor Baptist Church at 27. And I didn't, or 28, 29, whatever it was, and I decided not to do that. Our church had gone through a lot of challenges, rebuilding. We still had a lot of challenges to go. And so I declined, and so we hired Richard Rockwell, whom I ended up being his associate pastor for 8 years. In 1997, he went to Ellsworth, and it was a smooth transition because I had been doing weddings and funerals and setting up all our programs in our church. Also, I was the Sunday night speaker every week, so I got a lot of experience. I got to see him in his job and realize, you know, that's probably not something that's good, or it might be something that wasn't bad. But my point is I was able to watch and learn and gather information. So if I ever became a senior pastor, then I would have a better idea of what to do. So that was a great experience. So I spent 13 years at Bangor Christian and as a pastor on staff before 1997, I was voted in as the pastor here at Bangor Baptist, later to become Crosspoint. So my point is, there is something important about promoting from within. There's something about bringing somebody up that's already here. And so that's what I want to share with you today. That's what the lesson is about today, and the plan that's going to be unfolded after our service today. There's a season for everything and a time for every matter under heaven. This coming January, I will have been here 41 years. That's a long time. That also means it's time to move on. So with that being said, you know, as I evaluated the future, I realized that, you know, my season needs to come to an end and somebody else needs to take the ball and run with it. Statistics will show, whether people my age like it or not, that young people attract young people. It's just reality. I attract old people because I'm old. And that's okay, but you also need young people. So I'm smart enough to understand that I'm not the future. I get it. I'm on board. So with that being said, every pastor is an interim pastor if you stop and process it. If you think about it, because no pastor stays forever, although I think I'm close, right? In other words, there's always somebody after you. And the reality of it is you could say that with every job and every profession. There's an old saying, everyone wants to discuss succession until it's their own. That's never been me, but I understand that. Because when you talk about succession, that means that you're done. It means that somebody else is coming to take your place. Over the years, those that have been in our church for a long time, you've heard me say over time that I've always looked at being the pastor here, not from the standpoint of ownership, but the standpoint of being the coach at this particular time. And eventually, coaches leave. And so that's what we're going to talk about today and the process that is involved with that. Dave Travis of Leadership Network put it this way. He said, pastoral succession is the intentional process of the transfer of leadership, power, and authority from one directional leader to another. And so as I began to think about the process of leaving, I began to think about what is the best way to do this. And I concluded the best way, from my perspective, was to promote from within. So I went to Pastor Adam in January, 8 months ago, and I said, look, I'm moving toward getting done. I don't know exactly when that's going to happen, but we have two choices right now. We can promote from within, or we can try to find somebody from without. So I asked Pastor Adam, I said, are you at all interested in one day becoming the senior pastor at Cross Point? He said, well, I don't know. I've got to talk to my wife, pray about it, discuss it. I said, that's totally, I would hope you would say that. And so he went away. And I said, tell me sometime around summer. Can't wait forever. I might not be alive much after the summer, so we need to get this moving. So he came back around May or June, and he said, we've prayed about it, my wife and I. We've discussed it thoroughly. He said, if the church wants me, I will do it. And if I believe God wants me to do it, I will do it. And I said, great. So I said to him, and he's going to come up and talk at the end of this. So I said to him, what do you want to make this happen? What do you need for me to do, the church to do, the leadership board? What do you need to do the job and to be successful? So he said, well, I'm going to go away and put a plan together, and I'll share the plan. What you're going to hear today is the plan that was put together 100% by Pastor Adam. And that's important for you to grasp that. Biblical transitional situations or examples are biblical. And if you look on the board, you'll see that Moses mentored Joshua, who led the nation into the promised land. You might recall, those of you that know a little bit about the Old Testament, that it was Joshua and Caleb that were the only two of the 12 spies who had the faith to go into the land. The other 10 did not have the faith, And because of that, sadly, the nation of Israel spent 40 years in wilderness wanderings, which was horrific. But that was their discipline for not trusting God. If there was a positive or a silver lining of that, Joshua was able to be mentored by Moses all of those years. And he learned leadership. He learned what to do, what not to do. Moses wasn't perfect. We get that. But Moses had a lot of experience. And he himself was challenged many times during those wilderness wandering years. Elijah, for 6 years, mentored Elisha, who received actually a double portion of what Elijah had. Paul mentored Timothy. In fact, he called him a son in the faith. And then, of course, Jesus mentored the disciples to carry on the mission that he began. And Jesus talks about this in John chapter 17. So, as Adam put together this plan and brought it to me, it really mirrors these examples of biblical transitional examples. Somebody that was immature, somebody that wanted power, somebody who wanted to make a statement would have said, yeah, I'll do it. How quick can you leave, Jerry? But he didn't do that. He brought a thorough plan that you're going to see. And if we were looking for somebody to be our next pastor, what would we look for? Obviously, a Christian, loves the Lord. We those are kind of obvious things. But what kind of person do you want as your pastor? Or do I want, because the next person is going to be my pastor too? Well, we want somebody to have integrity. We want them to have humility. We want them to be biblically sound and theologically educated. We want them, obviously, to have the respect of peers and non-peers. We want them to be a leader who really listens and who's not a dictator. We want that person who wants to be in our ministry. And obviously a person who has experience in our ministry. Pastor Adam has been here now 5 years, working this last year as our executive pastor, which means he's responsible for all the daily decisions that are done just at Cross Point Church. Not at the godparent home, not at the mansion, not at the school, just our church. And in talking to our church staff, they have been extremely pleased. I mean, they love him. They love the way he approaches things, how he encourages them, how he's there for them. And so that also played a part in myself moving ahead with these steps. So what we've done is we've taken his proposal, which he shared with me first. Then we took it to our leadership, our board of deacons, and to our ministry-wide leadership team. We met with them one day this week. I don't remember what day it was. And they all seemed to be very pleased. And so now it's time to bring it to you. Because ultimately, you will vote to decide whether he becomes the next pastor or not. And so with that, everyone up to this point has embraced it. They love the plan. And they're wholeheartedly supportive of the direction that we believe is best for our church. So you're going to see with this timeline that it's methodical, it's concise, it's thorough, and it gives Pastor Adam, by his own admonition and his desire, the best chance, when I use the word chance, you know what I mean, opportunity to be successful. Because he wants to be successful, and he wants to be here long term. He wants to be here one day, maybe at my age, and doing this for somebody else that maybe will be on our staff at that particular time. So here is phase one. Phase one was to share it with the deacon board, which we did in our August meeting. Phase two was to share it with our ministry-wide leadership. That's Barb Ford at the godparent home, Terry Dinkins at the mansion, Angela Brown and her administrative team, and all of the church pastors, all what we'd consider our leadership team together. And we did that this past week. So he would like for the next year for the preaching to continue. I would do the first or the 75%. He would do 25%. But in reality, because of my mission work, I'm really not in the pulpit 75% of the time. It's probably more like 60% of the time. So in actuality, it's going to be probably, 45-65 or whatever that is, 35-65, until September of 25. So basically, we'll say this is September. I know we're a week away. But so this month, a year from now, we're going to basically do the same thing we've been doing. He will continue to be the executive pastor of our church only, and just continuing to learn, being mentored, and so forth. All right? So that's phase one. Phase two, you're all welcome to come. He wanted to be ordained. An ordination for a minister is a public verbal examination by a set of his peers. So it works like this. Adam will be up front. I'll be to the side, and then we'll have a council of 6 to 8 ministers who are older, who have been ordained, who have a lot of experience, and then I will ask Adam questions, and he will talk to the audience and give the answers. The council will be taking notes, so I will say, all right, are you finished with question one? Yes. Does the council want anything more than what Pastor Adam has said? Yeah, I need him to explain a little bit more on this, and then he'll have to do that. Once we go through the hour and a half examination, then myself as the moderator and the chair will go out somewhere, and the council will discuss it, and they will vote to ordain him or not. If they have more questions, then we'll come back. We'll come back eventually. And I will say to Pastor Adam, you passed, they voted 100%, you're good, you're ordained. I may come back, which I've had to do on 2 times, they want more information. They want you to talk more about this, or the more they talked about it out back, they need more information. So Pastor Adam will have to give more. But eventually, hopefully by God's grace, the council will be satisfied. So that's going to be on November 22nd, that's just a few months away. In January of 2025, which is 6 months away, he is going to start a 3-year doctoral program in Christian leadership from Southeastern. He already has his Master of Divinity, which he graduated with last year, and he really wants to get a doctorate because he believes that will help him academically, but also the size of our ministry in totality, it probably is a very wise thing to do. So he felt like there's no way that I could be the pastor of this church and work on a doctorate degree. So he says, I want to wait and I want to get more education, and that's a 3-year program. In June of 2025, he wants to have the first of 4 annual reviews. And then I think he wants it ongoing even after that, which he does. So in June of 2025, we will have an evaluation, a review in which I will sit with him, and we will be sending things out to all of our staff, our board. We want input from all of you, and I will share with him, this is what the people have said. They think this is going well, but this isn't going well, and we need to work on this. He wants that critique so he can improve that, and I think that's admirable, quite honestly. Because power-hungry people aren't like that. They don't want any critique at all. In July of 2025, he will become the executive pastor, basically a year from now, of our entire ministry. So that means that he will have the authority to work with our school, our godparent home, the Mansion Church, and he will be working along with those leaders to encourage them, to pray with them, to just ask them questions, why are they doing this, and what or why or how, and all of those types of things. So that will be another promotion a year from now to executive pastor over all our ministry, just not the church. In September of 2025, a year from now, we're going to start transitioning the public speaking for obvious reasons. And Pastor Adam will preach half of the time, and I'll preach half of the time. In fact, he'll probably be preaching probably 60% of the time because of my travel and doing missions overseas. Also, in June 2026, He's going to receive his second annual review from the staff, from the board, obviously feedback from the church. And we hope that if there were any deficiencies from 25, that those are corrected by 26. And we pray no other deficiencies come to a head, but they could. We don't know. June of 2026, the chairman of our deacon board, Steve Rollins, will resign completely off the board. Completely off the board due to a conflict of interest. Cannot have the father-in-law of the pastor as the chairman of the deacon board or even on the board. And Adam, I've got to know very, very well. He is very confidential. Very confidential. So you can trust him, and he won't be discussing things with Steve after Steve's off the board. He won't do that. That's just not who he is, or I wouldn't be up here at all. In 2026, there'll be a new chairman that will be installed, and you're wondering, who is that? I don't know. We'll both know in June of 2026. All right, we have no idea who that's going to be. Phase three. June 2027, he'll receive his third annual review from staff, from the board, from all of you. Once again, to find out how things are going. I think by then, we'll probably have a good idea whether or not this is going to be a good fit for us. And so 3 years from next month, September of 24 to 27, you will decide whether or not you want him as the next senior pastor of Cross Point. Now, you have to be a member to vote. So if you're not a member, you've got 3 years to join, all right, if you want to vote. So we'll have a vote at that particular time. That will be after three annual reviews. That will be after him preaching 50% of the time, leading all of our various ministries. Everybody at that point, I think, will say, this is good or this isn't good. This isn't going to work. And then you will vote one way or the other. In that same month, same year, we're going to transition the preaching where I will do 25%, he'll do 75%, which will be closer probably to 80 or 85% because of my travel going overseas and teaching pastors, which I love to do. But he'll be the majority speaker. That's the main point of this phase three. 3 years from now, he will be in the pulpit probably 80% of the time. In January of 2028, I begin to transition out, and I will have weekly meetings with Pastor Adam. And it's important for you to know, I don't know if I mentioned this last service, but he also wants to do that after I'm gone completely. Kind of have weekly meetings just as, so I can be a sounding board, you know, and so forth. I will still go to the monthly deacons meetings, and I am no longer in the weekly staff meetings. So I'm no longer really part of the decisions that are going on during the week with the staff at all. So I'm slowly moving out. In June of 2028, he receives his fourth annual review from the ministry staff and the board of deacons, and more feedback from you even after the vote to make sure everything is still going well. August 2028, I'm fighting a couple of these things. This is one of them. There's going to be some kind of celebration for me in August of 2028. And then he will become, in September 28, 4 years from next month, he will become the main preacher and pastor. And I will preach by his invitation once, maybe twice a year, as Pastor Emeritus. Emeritus simply means you're old and over the hill and you're done. That's what it means, all right? So, you know, if you stick around, anybody can be an emeritus if you live long enough and stay around long enough. Anybody can be an emeritus, all right? So, with that being said, 4 years from next month, the transition will be complete, but it'll be in the process up to that. And this will allow him to grow, allow him to connect more with you, allow you to hear his preaching more, and to give you the comfort and to give our church the stability and allowing him also to finish his three-year doctorate program, which is very, very important for him, not only personally, but also I think it's good for our church as well. And so 3 or 4 years from now, we'll have to call him Dr. Feltner. All right, Dr. Feltner. So there's a lot more that I could say, but I think you get the gist of it. I think what I've heard so far, well, in fact, I know what I've heard so far, even after the first two services, that people really like the plan. They like the plan because they don't, many people said, we don't want to put Adam in a position where he can fail. And this will give him time to be successful. He's 29 years old. It's a lot of responsibility for a 29-year-old. Not impossible. But he'll be 33 when the transition happens, which is a good age. I mean, after all, it's the age of Jesus, right? And so with that in mind, that will have given him 9 full years working in our ministry, learning and growing. I did it for 13. If this works, he will have done it for 9. I was 38 years old. He'll be 33 years old. So there's a lot of similarities in the plan that he laid out. So when I received the plan and read the plan, you know, for me, it was a kind of a two-edged sword, to be totally transparent. In some ways, that's a lot of years. But those of us that are older know that 3 or 4 years go by just like that. But I was asked by the deacon board, are you willing to do this, Jerry? And I said, yes, for Adam, I would do it. And so I will be here for these years, preaching and doing my best to lead the ministry, at the same time working my best to do everything I can when the baton is passed to help Adam be successful, because that's what I want as well. Because I will transition from pastor to parishioner, emeritus parishioner, right? So I want things to go well also, because he'll be my pastor as well as your pastor. So if you didn't understand all of this, you can go back and listen online. It's all being recorded. It'll be on our Facebook page, website, whatever. But if you have questions, obviously feel free to email, ask us. There really aren't a lot of answers other than what I've already said this morning. It's kind of laid out for you. So really after today, you know, we're kind of going to be working toward, you know, this transition over time, which I think will be a great, great plan. So I've asked Adam to come and to share with you his heart and why he believes that God will use him to lead us, not only in the future, but quite honestly, now, really, as well. So even though the baton isn't passed, he's still in the race. And he's on the leadership team as we work ahead. So would you welcome Pastor Adam to our pulpit this morning?
Well, hello, everybody. Earlier this week, Pastor Jerry asked me, you know, if come up on stage for a few minutes, share a little bit about why you think you'd be the guy for the job. And what a daunting question that is, right? Because you could like go one of two extremes where you could seem overly confident or not confident enough, right? And I was just asking the Lord this week, you know, give me wisdom on what to say. And the verses that came to mind actually came from 1 Peter chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, I'll be really quick, I promise. 1 Peter chapter 5. And it's Peter who's addressing pastors. He's addressing elders, spiritual leaders. And, you know, I could come up here and just share with you, you know, my strengths that I have, right? I could share with you that I'm pretty good with administrative skill. Obviously, you see from this detailed plan. I'm sorry you had to sit through this whole detailed plan because there's a lot of stuff. I know some of you aren't very detailed people. Some of you love it. You know, I could share about that. I could share about how God has continued to help me grow as a teacher and as a preacher. I could tell you about the leadership skills that I've inherited over the years. I could share all that with you. But God continued to bring this to mind, and I think it's what we need to hear. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 1, says this: "So I exhort the elders, the spiritual leaders, the pastors among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, Jesus, appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." So why share all that? I think what this church needs, you know, I think a lot of people have a definition of what they want in a pastor. I think some of them want a good orator. Some of them want a good preacher. Some of them want a visionary or a dreamer. You know, there's a lot of things that probably each and every one of you have different definitions of what you're looking for. And I was reminded that what each church really needs is a shepherd. Someone that goes into the dirty work of not only sharing God's word, but loving God's people sacrificially. And it talks about this idea of being willing and being eager. I remember when it was about 12 years ago, I remember committing my life to full-time ministry. And ever since that day, I'll share that whole story later on, you know, when there's a good time. But I remember from that day forward, there's been a prayer that I've had throughout that time. Every single day, every single year, it's been this: God, would you work in me, and would you work through me? God, would you work in me? Would you continue to mold me to become the man of God that you want me to be? But God, would you also make my life mean something, right? Would I make this take this life that I have and make it count? Not waste it. And I've been praying that prayer day by day, year by year, for 12 years. And really, my approach to everything that I've ever done is coming with open hands. Open hands and ready feet. God, I'm willing to go anywhere that you call me to. I have willing hands that are willing to serve you in whatever you want me to do. Now, if you ask that prayer, that is a dangerous prayer. Because God can take you on a journey of a lifetime. And that's what he's done for me. And what I've noticed is that God is really faithful to answer those prayers. He's been really good to do that. Where he's provided these just small opportunities one at a time. And I've just decided, okay, I'll go through the open door and I'll be faithful with it. And I'll just do the small things over the time, be faithful, and keep doing it. And, you know, Pastor Jerry mentioned all those examples on the screen. That's exactly how God has built leaders over time. It's faithful shepherding, faithful minutia things over time, faithful ministry. And that's what God's done for me over the past 12 years. And so if I were to come to myself 12 years ago and say, hey, you're going to be on stage here and share with everybody, hey, you know, I'm interested in being the next senior pastor of Crosspoint Church, I would tell that 17-year-old would probably tell me, you're nuts, right? There's no way you'll ever want to do that. And yet here I am. And you know, when I moved here 5 years ago, I was actually really nervous. I was scared. I grew up in Ohio. I'd never been to Maine really ever in my life. Beyond just coming here to see my wife's family. And you know, that's when you don't know really anybody around you and you feel like God's led you to this ministry and God's hand has been upon it. That's terrifying. And you know what? It's been one of the best decisions that I've ever made. Because it's through that saying yes to an open hand, saying yes to an opportunity like coming here, that I've gotten to meet a lot of you, Some of you I don't know as well. A lot of you I know quite well. And we've been through a lot of joys and valleys together. And it's been my joy to be here. And so whatever happens, right, if 3 years from now, it's voted no, or for whatever reason, I still love this place. I love Cross Point so much that I will stay here and stay here faithfully because I love you all. I genuinely do. And so I know there's probably a lot of questions today. There's a pretty big plan. I'm sure you have questions for Pastor Jerry. Pastor Jerry will be in the back at the end of the service to be able to answer some of those questions if he's able to. And I'll be here in the front as well. But I just want you to hear my heart this morning that, you know, whatever you're looking for for a pastor, one thing that I will commit to you is that I will teach God's word. I will teach it faithfully because that's the only way I know how to teach. And I will shepherd God's people because that's the only way I know how to pastor. And so let's stand together. I want to close our time in a word of prayer because I think we need to come to God in prayer. This is a big thing that a lot of us need to process and grasp. And so I just want to come to God this morning in prayer, and we'll close our service this morning. Father, I thank you for everyone that's here this morning. God, I thank you for how you've worked in each and every one of their lives. God, I'm thankful for how you've worked in my life. God, I thank you for Pastor Jerry. I thank you for the ministry that he has had, not only for my life personally, but for many of us in this room, who he's discipled, who he's shepherded and pastored, and really has been an example to each one of us. And I know he's been an example to me. And God, I just pray for our church. I pray for each everyone in this room. God, would you continue to help us have open hands in life, be willing to do whatever you've called us and led us to do. And God, I'll pray for me. God, I pray for me as a spiritual leader that you continue to help me grow in the knowledge and wisdom of the Lord. God, I pray as we go through this season of change in our ministry, God, would we be unified as one body that has one goal, and that's to glorify you by fulfilling the Great Commission. God, if there's anything, we ask you to do that. So God, we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you for this morning. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.